Sean Reynolds is doing another wrap-up story as we head to our Sportsnet colleague in the Peg. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Living the dream. Probably better than you guys are feeling this morning. We've had a few weeks since in a non-playoff market. We got no dog in the fight outside of me showing love for the Leafs here and then Dhaliwal keeping me in line. But what happened? And from your standpoint, what happened over the weekend?
Well, the way I see it, you know, this Jets team that started the year pretty hot, you know, I think at some point in December they were the second place team in the entire NHL, and you saw things starting to kind of unravel at the seams as the calendar turned to 2019. It seemed to get worse and worse until it culminated in, you know, just that terrible stretch of futility for the team down the stretch heading into the playoffs. And the real key there is, you know, at one point, I think it was about 2 weeks left in the season, they beat Nashville on home ice. And it looked at that stage that it was impossible for the Jets not to lock up the top seed in the Central. And they just entirely fell apart after that. And in the last two games of the season, end up falling out of first and land in that second spot. And in doing so, they run into a Blues team that was, you know, the best team in the NHL from January 1st on. So one, they pulled a really, really tough opponent that they never should have pulled. That makes it tough. And two, I think, you know, the big question, you saw all the stories, and that the big issue in Winnipeg was, can this team flip the switch going into the playoffs? And I really do think they did. They cleaned up their game immensely for games 1 through 4, and the first two periods of game 5. And they played really good hockey. They seemed to have an edge in a lot of spots in the series. But I think that the emotional toll that was taken as they lost and the kind of confidence issues that come from that really reared its head at the key moments in this series. Because if you take a look at it, game one, they're up 1-0 going into the third period. They blow that lead and lose 2-1. The next game, it's tied. The Blues come out, they score in the third period, and then they hold that lead. Then obviously that debacle in game 5 where they were up 2 goals and they end up losing in regulation time 3-2. And just the no-show that we see in game 6. Really, the clear indication in this series was that the Blues were ready to perform at their best when they needed their best, and the Jets weren't. And that just simply comes from, you know, the habits and the lack of confidence that this team had down the stretch when it was blowing leads and not winning hockey games.
Sean Reynolds joins us to talk about the Winnipeg Jets. Sean, Brian Burke was a massive Jets fan, and we have him on every Thursday, and you know, probably about 2-3 months ago, because you know what? They're missing something there. I don't know what it is. They try and make the trade deadline deal. In that room, I mean, it seems like a group of guys that get together. What do you think they were missing?
Well, I don't think personally it's a personnel thing. I just think that sometimes success is as tough to handle as defeat. And I would say that would be the case with this Jets team. When you called Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele were doing their season ender, and Blake had said that he believed that this team kind of really never was able to find its game the entire season. And that includes at the beginning of the year when they were when they were putting up points anyways. But you can remember, and I mean, there's a game they played against the Canucks that was the perfect example. They beat them 1-0 in December. As we're getting close to Christmas, I forget the exact date, but that game, they were outplayed, outshot by Vancouver the entire game, but Vancouver couldn't score, and the Jets, with about 2 minutes left, go out and Scheifele and Wheeler hook up on a goal and win the game 1-0. And that just looked like so many of the Jets' early games in the year, where they just weren't playing good hockey, but they were so talented that they could just out-talent the other teams, and their talent could jump up and win the game at the right time. And what happened over the year is that ability to do that just seemed to fade. Now, maybe it's because the rest of the league, you know, over the course of the season, figures themselves out and they start to play better, and, you know, everyone starts playing better hockey towards the playoffs. And I think maybe the Jets got a little bit comfortable in the fact that they were good enough to just simply outscore and outskill teams at the right time. And when other teams were working on their game and becoming teams, I think that kind of hockey leads to individuals, and there's clear indications of that. 6 Winnipeg Jets, from my count, had career highs in points this year. that's most of this team is the same team that we saw perform as well as it did last year. So a number of players on this team personally got better, yet their results got worse. That should tell you something.
Sean, tell me this. Just a fascinating offseason. I think this is going to be one of the most intriguing offseasons for any team in the NHL this summer, especially when you look at the UFAs, the RFAs. So what now for the Jets? Obviously, the contracts for Connor and Laine need to be taken care of. Trouba as well. Myers, Hayes, Tanev, Sherratt, all UFAs. Who stays? Who goes? Try to forecast. Give us a spoiler alert if you can.
Well, right off the bat, I don't see Kevin Hayes staying. I don't know how happy he could be that, you know, for the price they paid for him, you know, a first-round pick and Brendan Lemieux. He came here to be their savior at the second-line center and ends up riding out the playoffs, anchoring the fourth line. I can't see him being happy about that and thinking, wow, this is a place I'd like to set up shop now. So I don't see him sticking around. I don't believe Tyler Myers will be around. Ben Sherratt is another candidate who I think could be gone. Brandon Tanev, with his play, has priced himself out of this market. Brandon Tanev, in my mind, a player who, when he showed up, I wasn't sold on him. He exits this season for me, a clear player that any team in the NHL could use. His skill set and what he brings to the table, there's not a team in the NHL that couldn't benefit from what he does. So I think he's probably priced himself out of the market here because they're going to have to turn around now and try and find money for Kyle Connor, who has played two full seasons in the NHL and has you know, two 30-goal seasons. And Patrick Laine, who, while he did struggle this year, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. How many players can you talk about in the league who had what most people view as a terrible season and put up 30 goals in that season? You know, the numbers that he's put up goal-wise over his career indicate that he's probably going to command a fairly high price. And the trick that you get into there is a lot of people are saying they need to see more from him defensively, and you want to bridge him and you want to kind of keep his number down. But how angry do you make a star player by trying to grind his number down so that you can make things work in other parts of your roster? So I think you're right. I think that the Jets are far and away the most fascinating team this offseason on how they're going to spend their money. The way I see it, it's going to be really tough. They're going to lose a lot of players. They're going to have to replace those players with young players, which means in this team's window, as we like to call it, in their Stanley Cup window, they're suddenly going to get a lot younger again and struggle with the issues that come with that. And it's going to make it a tough run around here. And I also think that they're going to be tighter than they've ever been when it comes to salary, and that's going to put them in a position where they can't do what they did the last two seasons, go out and get players like Stastny and Hayes to bolster their roster at the playoff deadline, or sorry, at the trade deadline. So things are going to get really tight here around the Jets, and again, we're back to that whole thing about it can be pretty difficult to handle success. It gets hard to handle success. Sometimes it's easier, and you got a lot more space when you're a team on the rise than a team that's already there.
Sean, we're getting tight for time here, but Tyler Myers obviously in Vancouver. They look at unrestricted free agents and see who could help them. His name is certainly one that pops up quite a bit. What argument would be easier for you to make? Why Vancouver should pick up Tyler Myers or why they should stay away from him?
Well, there's been, you know, some pretty clear defensive inefficiencies at times with Tyler Myers. Tyler Myers, to me, though, is a really good player who, when used properly, is the kind of guy who can turn games around. The Jets last season, probably more often, but this season as well, if they're down in a game and you're looking for a player who can create something out of nothing, and make no mistake about it, there's not a lot of those guys in this league, and he is one of those guys. He can take a nothing situation and turn it into a dangerous situation quick. He's the kind of guy who you can put on the ice and get you back into games. You just got to make sure that you have him with the right guy defensively and use him in the right situations in games, and he can become a highly valuable player.
Sean, thanks for this. Appreciate it. You know what? You've got some downtime now and lots of it, buddy.
We'll see.
Until the Bombers get going. But you know what? Based on that, they might actually give you a little more vacation time based on that labor situation there too. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. Anytime, guys.
Sportsnet 650.